Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What form is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Oh, she's come a long way from the young girl who apologised to her first ever opponent every time she landed a punch, which wasn't very often, in a one-sided defeat down in Cavan years and years ago, to now being a world and Olympic champion. Kelly Harrington, what an absolute superstar. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hi, Murph.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Owen, very well. How are you?
It is going unbelievably well. Certainly a lot better than this time last week when we had built up a Super Sunday that turned out not to be so super after all. No disappointment whatsoever yesterday. I still can't quite believe it's yesterday. It seems longer ago, but just over 24 hours as we record. We're going to be talking to Andy Lee and Gavin Casey in a bit. Andy was straight off to Portland Row after the fight yesterday morning. So caught up was he in the excitement of the whole thing. But I know you all well enough. I know you members very well. And you non-members too. I know you well enough to know what you want to kick things off today. So prepare to have those heartstrings tugged at by a classic Mark Horgan audio bed.
One person lifting a small nation, it's just amazing. This is the stuff that dreams are made of.
I'm losing will.
So we all grew up together, so all my life I know it's just the best.
My hands are soft as cotton.
Yeah, I'm a boxer and I've been boxing for about 2 years now.
Machine has eaten up my job.
And when Kelly does win this boxing, it's going to go very up for girls.
My meaning, my call.
I used to always see Kelly trying to do stuff for other people.
I shovel coal down Spencer's dock.
And I think she's an inspiration to a lot of people.
I took you dear into wedlock.
It means a lot, because if I train hard, I can do anything.
You did a bear as a beautiful flower.
Do you think that you could be in an Olympic final someday?
River up the machine down on the docks.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping one day I could.
River up the machine until it stops.
Kelly Harrington, Beatrice Ferreira.
Here we go.
Oh, Lord, lift me, show me God.
Two decent ones for Ferreira again. Harrington, keep it going. The shades from Zora and John. Can she continue what she's doing? Goes to the body again. Lovely right hook to the side of the head. Beautiful shot. What a fight this is. Beautiful net. Right hook lands. Left hook lands from Harrington. Uppercut from Ferreira. Ferreira has to go for it. She's still dancing in there. She's still moving in there. 10 seconds. Surely Harrington has done enough in the lightweight final. The bell. What a performance!
With gold enough to win back time. With gold enough to win back time.
She's done it! Olympic champion Kelly Harrington! Gold for the Darling of Dublin!
With a rocking machine down on the dock.
Michael Caruth, Katie Taylor, and now Kelly Harrington.
Olympic champion.
Oh, would you stop? Oh, me hay fever's acting up, Murph. Just those little girls talking to Samantha Librari on RT Radio yesterday about Kelly as an inspiration. Oh, my. Oh.
It's pretty dusty over here in the Murphy sitting room as well.
So dusty. Rock the Machine is the song by Lisa O'Neill. They're absolutely, absolutely beautiful stuff. I hope that's got you in the mood for what's to come over the next little while. Great job by Hugh Call on commentary. We heard a bit of Hugh there, I should say, even though he was freaking me out beforehand when Ferreira was... Did you notice this? Ferreira's walking out and I was like, Hugh, stop saying words here. He's like, she's in the armed forces. Her dad was a multiple national champion. She never loses any fights whatsoever, basically. Although he did make the point that she's yet to face Kelly Harrington. And that was the key point, as it turns out there. There was just so many moments.
There's all extremely bullish and entirely correct a statement of fact. I mean, I was going to say a prediction. I mean, it was a statement of fact that the second it was said that the decision was unanimous, that automatically meant that Kelly had won. But there were still like 2 seconds there between Hugh announcing the fact that Kelly had in fact won and the referee lifting up her arm. And that was a pretty uncomfortable 2 seconds for me. So I can only imagine how uncomfortable it was for Hugh Call that exact moment. But
I've got this right. Half a night thinks Hugh briefly. Well, of course, he rarely gets it wrong. Except when he tipped up a dead horse. But listen,
obviously, that one slip. I mean, are we going to mention that every time Hugh Call gets talked about in this show? Well, yes, quite frankly.
Probably. But, so Hugh has his Olympic gold now. Kelly Harrington has her Olympic gold. And I just thought there were so many moments. I think the big one for me was at the end of the second round when the judges' scorecards became apparent and suddenly we're thinking, because we had talked to Eric Donovan last Friday and he said, Kelly, everyone knows this by now, Kelly needs to be ahead after the first round. She's not going to be able to go chasing. She has to go chasing. That's not good for her style and she'll walk into punches by Ferreira and so on. She wasn't ahead after the first round, albeit it was tight enough that it wasn't like she was down on all the scorecards. But then this amazing second round, the scores are read out and I got to be honest, I struggled to really focus during the third round because it's like she's going to do this now, you know. And once she was staying out of trouble in that third round, fighting well again, that moment when you realize it's actually going to happen because it's hard. You're keeping a bit of a lid on it. You think she can do it, but it just you need to be convinced. And that's when it happened for me, anyway.
Yeah, geez, I was not feeling comfortable during the third round.
I'm not saying I was feeling comfortable. Yeah. I was just more, it was almost the opposite. I was kind of losing my mind a little bit. I was getting overly excited that it was going to happen. I'm not saying I was just kicking back in my chair going, oh, she's Olympic champion now after round two. And thankfully, Kelly wasn't thinking that way as well. Everything that came afterwards as well, just her being on her knees in the ring, coming out, hugging the coaches, hugging Bernard Dunn, the medal ceremony, all the clips since then of her being shown the footage from home. Amazing. Absolutely.
And
amazing.
The footage from home itself.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like absolutely ridiculous, insane, just ridiculous Italia 90 vibes to the whole thing, you know. Like the just that idea of the big screen in Portland Row, and then everyone got like RTE got in their coverage as well, just like this kind of like stampede down to the Harrington's front door so that everyone could just like like pile in. It was just unbelievable.
Did you see, you saw the note on the front door saying just please give us some privacy during the fight itself, we'll celebrate one way or the other afterwards, which is really nice. Because hadn't somebody, I saw after the semi-final, somebody, I think Kelly's mum said somebody had called to the house and asked to watch it, and she said, well no, because I'm not watching, I'm going to be at the back. And I think that person came in anyway regardless. So maybe they felt they had to put a notice up to make it official that they were not to be disturbed during the fight itself. But they all spoke. So we'll talk to Andy about this because he was there. I thought her brother Joel absolutely nailed it. He's talking about how she, while others shut down when they fight their biggest fighter in the biggest pressure moment of their lives, she actually loosens up and expresses herself. He was so coherent for somebody speaking at 6:20 in the morning after watching their sister win an Olympic medal. And the other brother, Christopher, home and wearing a very cool retro Ireland jersey, home from Iceland where he coaches a women's football team. So many moments. It's hard to know what the most iconic one will be. You know, I think with Carruth, it's him actually receiving the decision and leaping up and down is the one that people remember. So take your pick out of about 50 images and memories from yesterday as the one that's going to be shown most often in the years and decades to come. Anyone fancy one more clip from our interview with Kelly from Liberty Hall in 2018? I'm sure I don't have to.
Go on, Owen, will you?
Twist your arm, guys. Our members heard a couple of good ones in the last week, including that one I referenced at the start of the show where she talked about some poor Cavan girl who beat Kelly in her first ever fight, but Kelly avenged that defeat in Dublin in front of her own fans a number of months later. But this was this is another great one. This is, again, from the same interview. We had interviewed Kelly in the Liberty Hall after she came home with her world championship medal in December 2018. But the patients at St. Vincent's Psychiatric Hospital in Fairview, where Kelly works, had something else in their sights.
My job is I go in the morning, give them their breakfast, clear away after the breakfast, take their lunch orders, their tea orders, and bring that up. But in between that, I'll get the karaoke going, get a bit of music and get the crack on. That's what it's all about, you know. I can't go into work though without the goodies, so I have to bring in the chocolate or something, you know. And I can't come back from holiday, from holidays. Do you hear me? I'm talking about boxing, then I'm away, but it's a holiday.
Not most people's idea of a holiday.
I was in the World Championships, but it was a holiday.
Yeah.
I can't come back without bringing them cigarettes either, like, you know. So they're all... Like, they're coming up to me and I have the medal and they're, let's see your medal. So I showed them the medal and they're like, did you bring back the goodies? And I'm like, don't worry, I have the goodies. They're dear.
In fairness, it was only a world championship. This time she's bringing home Olympic gold. So that's enough. No need for any other goodies once you've got an Olympic gold medal in the bag there. She also mentioned karaoke there. And did you know, because I didn't until I saw this clip tweeted by Joe O'Neill, that Kelly can sing a bit too. Not bad, eh? It's Kelly Harrington on vocals. Who's that on Tin Whistle? He looks like quite an accomplished Tin Whistle player. Anyone recognise? I just sent the clip onto you there, guys, to have a look at.
That's John Sheehan, oh.
John Sheehan. Honestly, the fact that you can't recognise John Sheehan. I mean, is this guy even from Dublin? Like, I mean, I'm sorry, Owen, but I mean, I have to...
Now is not the day to be sneering each other. Now's the day to
sneer. Well, that's the day to be sneering you, I suppose. Is that what you're saying?
John Sheehan, the composer, owner of the Merino Waltz, and a relative of mine, of course.
Excuse me?
Well, he's my mother's mother's brother's wife's brother. Does that count as...
Well,
it's a relative?
Go again. Start slowly.
My mother's mother's brother's wife's brother.
So your grandmother's...
Brother's wife's,
wife's
brother.
Brother. Mm. So you're... The brother of your grandmother's brother-in-law.
I don't know how I can make it any more simple. I mean... what is it that you're failing to understand?
Well, I mean, there are about nine links in the chain. I'm just trying to get the nine.
My grandmother's
links.
Brother is married to John Sheehan's sister, Mary.
Yeah, that's very, very clear as mud. And John Sheehan once played Tin Whistle with Kelly Harrington. So, in effect, you won this Olympic medal for Ireland. Mm. That's how closely related you are.
In a sense.
Kelly Harrington.
We all played our part in this gold medal. Yeah. Some more than most. Like Thor, Antia, Bernard Dunn, Ken Early. And then there are the bottom feeders like me and you, Owen, who just interviewed her one time.
The girl from Cavan who inspired her.
Yeah, well, no, she actually did have a big part to play, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it actually sounds a bit like loads of amazing Kelly content over the last couple of days, including the Kilkenny fan dropping in a bag of spuds to the house on the way to Croker, which was a nice...
I mean, who does that? Cultures. I mean, like, yeah, anyway. If he brought the photographer along, then you'd have to respect it. Otherwise, it's just the act of a complete madman. You know, I mean, if the guy wanted to go viral, then fair enough. I got to respect the hustle, you know. But if it's just some lunatic carrying around a bag of spuds to give to the most deserving person he meets on any given day, then that is truly, truly insane behavior.
He saves his spuds for Olympic champions, Murph. Caruth got one. Katie got one, Kelly's getting one, and that's the end of that. The day didn't end too well for this Kilkenny fan, by the way, beaten in a thriller by Cork in the All-Ireland semi-final. We're going to talk about that one during the week for World Service members. And the Premier League season starts on Friday night, believe it or not. Lots of coverage during the week on the World Service. You can become a member right now on secondcaptains.com for a fiver a month plus VAT. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up. All right, let's talk about our new Olympic champion.
One, two, three. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 unanswered punches, 15 of them really hurt.
All the Irish, everyone in the house are hurting. I heard all the cheers, and he got me through that fight, Matt Carbo.
was giving me a nightmare, and I found it really hard in there. But anyway, listen, I'm a midway fighter, I'm a champion now, I want to defend my belt in Ireland, and I'll fight the best in the world.
Congratulations, Andy.
Up the Irish, give me
you. Hard left hand, oh. Right hook. Oh.
There's that Andy in the right hook.
There's that right hook. There's that jump in my right hook. He caught each other.
Fight, you know why? Too many unanswered punches. Andy Lee is a brand new WBO middleweight champion of the world. How about that for all of my friends watching in Ireland?
The winner by TKO victory, and now the WBO middleweight champion of the world, Irish Andy.
World Service members last Friday would have heard Gavin Casey of the 42.e boldly predict Kelly Harrington would become Olympic champion after a pause of about 2 minutes, but he got there in the end. Hi, Gavin.
How are you, Owen?
I'm good. I'm fresh from a visit to Portland Row yesterday. It's Andy Lee. Andy, how are things?
Good. I was also there yesterday. Must have just missed you.
No, you're fresh from the visit to Portland Row. Yeah, no.
I thought you were there yesterday. I saw that Murph was there with Mark.
Yeah, Mark was there by himself, not me. Now, I mean, I had hurling to watch yesterday, unfortunately, but Mark was just bathing in the glory of it all, I think, for like 5 or 6 hours around Portland Row yesterday, as he should, as he should.
How was it, Andy, around there?
Good. I was in the UK on Saturday night and then was on the airplane Sunday morning watching the fight. And I just said, hey, I'm going there. I'm going to go stop by on the way down from the airport, you know? And I just got dropped off and I got there about 9 a.m., so everyone, it was kind of quiet, but there was still a few remainers, you know, around the place and having the crack. So where's Kelly Harrington's house? And some cheeky fellow was pointing me in the wrong direction, and then the woman corrected me, said, no, he's only joking, yeah. Yeah, on the left. So I went down and knocked on the door, and lovely to see him, and they're all in great form. Off bringing me in for a cup of tea and all, I said, listen, you've got enough going on. I just wanted to say congratulations. Got a photograph and chit-chatting on the way again, so. Brief visit, but lovely.
Had you come across the family much before? Because they've become these absolute heroes of everybody's in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. No, just watching them on TV and the characters and that, you know, and the brother Joel, he's played a blinder throughout, you know, he's come out with some buttes and he's been really, you know, emotional and they're just genuine people. And, you know, Kelly is the same, isn't she? You know, it's lovely.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you may have felt like you didn't want to outstay your welcome, but if there were 24,000 people in Croke Park yesterday, Andy, I'd say about 12,000 of them knocked on the front door at the Harrington House regardless. So, but I mean, it is true, like, you know, like in a weird way over the last kind of 48 hours, like they have become public property nearly, the family, you know, and it has been such an absolute whirlwind. And to be able to handle it all with the aplomb that they've handled it with, it's such a credit to them.
It's a credit to them, but I don't show this is a conversation for another day because this is a good news story. But like the difference between, you know, the access that they've had to Kelly Harrington's parents compared to the rowers, you know, Fintan and Donovan and Paul Donovan there, quite, you know, I don't know what that says about, I don't know. So there's something in that, you know, that the ownership of the boxers or whatever it is, of people from a certain class, or, you know, there's something in that. But yeah, they've handled it with grace, and I think they have to, like, a lot of other people wouldn't, you know what I mean? So fair play to them.
Well, they were there. They were in Fintan's house, in fairness, I think, as well.
Yeah, I remember his mother was interviewed. I remember now, I do listen, listening to Paul Donovan's mother on another sports station that we won't mention. But knocking on the door 24 hours a day, you know what I mean? It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Gavin, we've used the word emotion a few times. What kind of emotions were you going through watching it on Sunday morning?
I said on Friday that Kelly's campaign so far was probably the happiest I'd been during the pandemic. And I think after Sunday, you can just scratch the pandemic caveat, really, you know? I think it's one of the happiest moments of my life, and it very much wasn't about me, and yet it kind of was about all of us in a way. I think that's the allure of Kelly. I was trying to put my finger on why I was reduced to tears watching her become an Olympic champion, and that's something that's probably happened to me twice or three times in my whole life, where sport has made me cry from joy. And what is it about this person? And I was scrolling through Twitter. I see friend of the show, Malachy Clerkin of the Irish Times, also admitting to being in floods. I was on a radio show down in Cork, the Big Red Bench, which is on my local station down here. And Rory O'Hagan, the presenter, we were just chatting beforehand. I said to Rory, like, I wept, did you? And he was like, oh, uncontrollably, like three or four times during the morning. So what is this effect? What is this hold that Harrington has on people? But I think the reality of it is that she feels like such a direct representation of all of us, because she is so normal. She's an ordinary human being doing extraordinary superhuman things. And so often in elite sport, I guess, the athletes feel a little bit removed from us, or they feel extremely different to us. Like, just thinking yesterday, Shane Kingston comes off the bench for Cork against Kilkenny, scores 7 points after being dropped by his own father for an All-Ireland semi-final, and he's interviewed afterwards and it's like, but Shane, like, you've changed the game. And he's like, ah, oh, well, you know, like, the lads put me in good positions and I was lucky enough to finish it off, the usual sort of thing. And not blaming Shane at all, like, but I guess the point is Kelly's authenticism and the fact that she never hides her own emotions kind of makes it feel that little bit more real, or that bit more tangible. And I don't know if like, I was trying to think as well, like, what other moments in life actually make us feel like this? So I'm a 29-year-old man, I don't have children and I can't speak to that, right? But what else gives you such a concentrated jolt of euphoria? Like, all this almost involuntary reflexive feeling of joy that we all felt, and like the collective feeling of it as well, knowing that everybody else in the country was feeling the same thing, it's pretty special. Like, and we often hear of how athletes visualize a competition or a tournament or a match. Andy would have been a proponent of it, I'm pretty sure, during his own professional career, almost playing out the fight in his mind. And we probably don't speak about the fact that we all do that as fans a little bit as well. I remember before the Olympics, probably for a couple of years really, thinking to myself, what would it be like if Kelly Harrington won Olympic gold? And trying to imagine that moment, like, where this Irish sporting hero would have this coronation. And I actually always envisaged myself crying, weirdly enough, and that's how it materialized. So I'm glad it came to fruition, certainly.
Andy, were you emotional?
I actually was, yeah. Like Gavin said, I was sitting on 3F on a Ryanair flight in my seat, but I had the turned up on the phone, just thinking, you know, the crowd might get around, or people might get interested, or at least, you know, I'm sure there was a couple listening, but no, I was sitting there on my own, welling up and looking around the place. It's like, look, she's, you know, trying to tell somebody that she's after winning the Olympic gold, but it was very emotional, wasn't it?
Andy, Gavin said, talks about Kelly being normal and very relatable, and I get that. But in some ways, is she a little bit abnormal in just how much she thinks about others, how selfless she is? Her mother has talked about this. We know from her work in the hospital that she does, and even how she treats her beaten opponents over in Tokyo. She seems to have a level of selflessness that maybe isn't completely normal.
Yeah, listen, I can't say I know her intimately. I've met her a few times and hello and goodbye, but she's always been very generous with her time. And, but I think she probably will need some protection as well when she comes home, because of the level that will be on her, you know, for her own sake, and her own well-being. But she is. She's just a genuine person, isn't she? I don't think there's any act with her. I think what you see on the screen and on is the real thing. And I made the point yesterday, like, but that's during the pandemic, and she was like, you know, she was a positive, you know, just a positive influence from the start of the pandemic, always keeping, you know, the video she did, workouts with her colleagues in the hospital, and dance videos and things like that. And she was a real star of the pandemic, if that's the thing. And now, since, like, look, it's gone and win an Olympic medal. And let's not forget, she had a tough year. She had a hand injury before, like, going into the qualifiers, and it wasn't a certainty. So, yeah, listen, this is an incredible achievement, and we can't say enough about it, really, can we?
Yeah, I think you're right to say she is abnormal. I'm probably selling her short by saying that she's normal. I guess it's authenticity more so than normalcy or normality or whatever the word is. Like, to speak to her generous side or the her tendency to think of other people, that is probably abnormal. Maybe it's something that we all strive towards, or we see the best in ourselves in her and she just produces it more regularly. But I remember the 42 released a coloring book for kids about 2 years ago called She Can, and it was basically a coloring book consisting of pictures of Irish female sports people, and on the flip side of the page then it was a little fact file where they answered 10 questions or so, and I was tasked with getting Kelly for those 10 questions, and her answer, I mean, some of her answers were fantastic. You could tell she really put thought into it for what were basically one word answers. But afterwards, our editor Adrian Russell asked me to get onto her for an address so that we could send her out a few copies. And I remember Kelly immediately saying to me, that'd be absolutely brilliant, but instead of sending them to me, could you send one to, and she gave me the name of one of her patients in St. Vincent's, who she explained, like, never gets posts, doesn't get visitors, and would be absolutely made up to receive something like this, particularly because he was so fond of Kelly, you know? And, like, that was where her mind went absolutely immediately. And you make a good point as well, Owen, about the fact that she gathered all of the medalists together for that huddle afterwards. And you could see it was very much her who instigated that. Like, the rest of them were prepared to walk off the podium and go their separate ways, but she recognized the moment and the significance of all of them being up there. And in a way, it's fitting that she was at the top of a podium consisting of such excellent fighters as Potkonen, Sudaporn, and Ferreira, who she beat in the final. This is the end of a five-year cycle of the Olympics. And Kelly Harrington is one of two Irish fighters now to have won European, World, and Olympic gold alongside Katie Taylor. She belongs in the pantheon of Irish sporting greats now, one of our greatest boxers of all time, and she is the queen of a really, really talented generation of 60kg amateur fighters. And, like, it's rare we kind of see anybody ascend to that status in their chosen sport. We're lucky to have seen it twice, I guess, in these Olympics with the O'Donovan, or with Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy as well, and other moments to savor. Like, it was a long time coming, and Andy knows, everyone who follows boxing knows, a cut, a hand injury, any kind of a niggle, like the hand injury that Kelly actually battled herself in advance of the games, can derail this entire thing. You are, like, Ken Egan made the point in commentary on TG Carr, a couple of years ago, like, if the stars align, Kelly might win gold. Now, she was talented enough, as we saw in the final and as we saw throughout the campaign, to win it herself, but you still need the stars to align a little bit, and they did.
Andy, what did you make of the performance in the final, from what you could see on your seat there on the on the flight over, your the famous 3F?
I thought she boxed great. Before the fight, I thought it was always going to be tough because Ferreira's physicality and her strength. Watching it live, I thought Kelly won the first round, but watching it back, I could see how they gave it to Ferreira. But even that was a close round. Other than that, she boxed, like, really, really well. Difficult stuff to achieve in a ring, especially in an Olympic final when, you know, you're in there with the very best.
What sort of stuff? What was the technical stuff that you noticed?
Just, like, the feints, the stepping, the moving. And also, like, she did one time, she did, like, a double right hand, like, from an orthodox stance, which that would make her right hand the backhand. And you don't really see that. You know, you might see the Cubans do it. It's a real kind of a flashy punch, but it's also very, very hard to do technically. And she, she did it. And it was actually scored and caught everyone's eye, you know. And I think in those fights, you got to look at the ring generalship as well, how she moved and controlled the fight and fought the fight where she wanted it to be fought. So, listen, top-class performance, really. And really, like, you know, I don't know, my crew was a big underdog, and that was, you know, nip and tuck. And, you know, I hate not going to compare them. And Katie had, you know, like a really, really hard fight with Archie Caver in the final, but Kelly was a clear, clear winner. And it was never, after the second round, it was never in doubt, really.
Yeah. Gavin, the clarity of the game plan and her character, because I have to say, you know the way we talked about Noel Burke, her club coach, and her kind of club career over the number of years, she kept mentioning him. He was clearly a part of devising the game plan, but they've also got Zora Antia, you know, the main coaches out there, the high performance coaches, Zora Antia and Conlon. And I kind of got the sense, it sounds like there's a lot of people involved in this game plan. That could be kind of confusing for some fighters, but it didn't look that way for Kelly. She seemed to be so clear in what she wanted to do.
Totally, yeah. I mean, Andy can probably speak to it as well, having trained fighters recently. And for example, when Jason Quigley had a massive fight with Shane Mosley Jr., like Andy was unable to get over to that to the States for that, and Wayne McCullough subbed in the corner. And I was speaking to Wayne about that recently and how seamless it was. And even the communication between Wayne over there and Andy back here felt like a pretty seamless transition. And ultimately, Jason was able to produce a brilliant performance. But I know what you mean, Owen, like sometimes too many chefs and all that. I think realistically with Kelly, especially because of the way she has been trained to be almost like a master boxer, like I think Kelly is almost the emblem or like the perfect representation of the fighter that Zora Antia tries to create, in that she can deal with any style. And she did. On her way to Olympic gold, she beat every style of fighter. Like she beat orthodox fighters, southpaw fighters. Iman Zalif was sort of tall, rangy, stiff jab. Kelly dealt with her. Sudaporn, incredibly slick, awkward. Kelly dealt with her. Beatrice Ferreira, human bulldozer. Kelly dealt with her. And probably it's a little bit easier to have the input of several coaches when your fighter can do pretty much everything in there. One thing I think the thing I found most striking about Kelly's performance was more on the psychological side of things, or the mental side of things. I said on Friday to you guys, she's probably the mentally strongest athlete I've ever met, like while working in sports media. And I suppose people could construe that as being mentally tough outside of the ring, which is equally true. She's dealt with setbacks, as we've mentioned before. Most athletes do, to be fair. But what I find remarkable about Harrington is how well she copes with the emotionality of an event like that, or how she copes with the, I guess, switches in momentum of fights and so on. And Andy is right to mention, like, you could tell she tired a little bit towards the end for certain, but it's how she actually managed the expectation of being in an Olympic final against a fighter of Ferreira's caliber, and to produce arguably a career best performance, certainly those second and third rounds. When I rewatched the fight, I was struck by how good she was in the third round despite tiring towards the end. I think when I watched it live, I was on tenterhooks, absolutely bricking it myself, so I probably didn't even appreciate how good she was. But to produce that on that stage, if you... Andy is absolutely correct. Like, it's pointless comparing achievements, but I guess if you have her, Michael Carruth, and Katie Taylor on a par in that they've all won Olympic gold, like, they did deal with it in different ways. And even specifically, Kelly and Katie's finals are extremely different. Katie, first and foremost, I'm not discrediting her victory. I know there's a bit of a narrative that has crept in among probably certain sports journalists, really, that, well, actually, Ochagava probably won that fight. Katie got the benefit of the doubt, which to me is nonsense. I watched the fight about 15 times in the last 9 years, and I can't make a case for that. But I would say that the pressure was evident in Katie's performance. She probably slightly underperformed compared to her own standards and was still good enough to win. I mean, that fight wasn't far off being a nil-all draw under the old scoring system. Katie takes it 11-8. It was probably closer to a 5-2, really, when you watch it back. But with Kelly, and granted, it is a little bit different in that under the 10-9 scoring system, if you make a mistake and you ship two or three shots, you're not suddenly down 2 or 3 points. But she almost seemed to revel in it, or embrace it, and produce a performance that was probably Kelly Harrington at about 100% or close enough to it. And that's what she needed to win. If the expectation of the occasion had gotten to her in any way, she would have probably lost the fight. But she has this sort of mental, psychological fortitude in the pressure of such an occasion to actually excel. And that separates her from most athletes in the world. Emmett Brennan made that point as well on Twitter. Like, that's what elite athletes do. That's the 1% we're talking about. When you're seeing that, and especially somebody who trains fighters as well, it must be impressive to just see, I guess, how well she copes with the pressure, if I could put it simply enough.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, when she came out of the tunnel and entered the arena, I was a bit worried because she looked quite emotional. I know there was a determination. She kind of had this, you know, holding her head high and that look in her eyes, but it seemed a little bit emotional. And Sinead O'Connor, but I'm not sure if I'm just
Oh, you're projecting your own nerves. Yeah.
She looked a bit. She did look emotional. And I thought, oh, this is not good. This is not good. But then Ferreira came out. She was pumped up as well. And I was like, oh, well, there's two of them in it now. There's, you know, but you had like. You can't separate the human and the fighter because that's what they are, you know, all the time. But as I said, she was tired because of the, I think, the emotion of the day and the moment, and it just was coming. It was all on top of them, and it was bound to culminate in being tired or looking spent. Especially, you know, the expectation, and she's fully aware of what's going on here in Ireland, and. I'm sure there wasn't a household not up watching that fight. You know, I'm sure I'd say 90% of the country watched the fight, so she'd be aware of that as well. But I guess that's what great athletes do, don't they? You know, and that might have been the difference between her winning or Ferreira winning, that she handled the occasion better. And there's nothing that can prepare you for that. She's done it time and again. In the Europeans and the worlds, and yeah, I guess I don't know what separates or how you get to that state, because you'll want it. She would have wanted to win so bad, but if you give into that want, it can almost always work against you. Mm-hmm. You're playing a game, or you're like, it's a balancing act where your desire. But also you're trying to control that, you know, the emotion and what you want to achieve, but you're trying to control it and stay within yourself and stay focused on what you have to do technically and strategically just to win the fight and try to put out your head. Like she's made it famous now, the Hakuna Matata. And I think that's her deflating the situation, you know, and trying to deflect from the fact that she's in an Olympics and she's in an Olympic final. And I think that's the best way to do it, is not to take, as I always did, what was my motto, was not to take the big thing serious and just to treat it like any other day. And I think that's almost impossible to do in an Olympic final. I would know, there's never an Olympic final, but I can imagine what it's like for her. And but listen, that was probably the difference, as I said, between winning and losing, how she handled it and as compared to how Ferreira handled it.
I can't imagine, Andy, what it's going to be like for her now. You kind of said, once or twice you've sounded like you've kind of sounded cautionary notes, just that there's work to do from here on in now in terms of, I guess, handling what comes with this. It's not a million miles off being unprecedented, so few gold medals have been won by Irish athletes. She's an Olympic champion now. She comes back. You'd hope, just the way she carries herself, the clarity of thought she seems to have, just the basic amazing personality she has, she should be fine. And this is obviously a great thing to be an Olympic champion. But what happens next for her, and any idea how she actually handles the fame that she now has?
Yeah, I don't know what her thoughts are about. Obviously, you win the gold medal in the Olympics. There's no, where do you go from there? You only go down. So does she turn professional? I don't know. I think she'd make a good professional. I think she would. You know, she's very technically better than most pros. She's probably better than all, like 99.9% of professional female boxers. She's probably technically better. She has the character to go along with it. And she's a household name now. And just to go back on the point at the start, where about the access to Kelly and her family as compared to the other gold medalists of this game, who has, you know, Kelly's made herself a household name. I'm not sure if people will know. They might not have done it in Brothers, or they might know, but I'm not sure if they'd be as recognised as Kelly is now. And that's maybe due to her willingness to give herself, you know, in interviews and be very open and be genuine. So not that that's a measure of success, but that is a big factor now in what she does next in terms of, I don't know, Gavin, what you'd know better. Does she box on as an amateur? Does she turn pro? What have you ever
Well, Gavin's been hyping up the Katie versus Kelly fight from last week.
Well,
so we've no problems there.
Come on. I had mentioned it in passing, maybe, but I kind of regretted not saying after that, Owen, like that it's actually a fight that I wouldn't want to see personally. It's something that if she was to turn pro, as Andy will know, like from the business side of things, it absolutely makes sense whether she would go pro under Eddie Hearn, who could potentially make that fight, provided you could fast track Kelly on a sort of a similar pace to the way Katie herself was fast tracked, and the adaptation from 3x3 minute rounds to 10x2, or if it was another promoter equally who just saw Kelly as being a potentially a lucrative way into that burgeoning female boxing market. But to answer your question, Andy, like whether or not she stays on for Paris, I think she'll be acutely aware of what you've just said about the fact that you can only really go downhill from here. Even if you went to Paris and won gold again, it's not going to be the same. It would be unbelievable, and it in an overall sense, would make the achievement even greater. But the emotionality of the occasion this time around, like what she felt herself and what we all felt, won't be matched. And when you bear in mind, like what we can't take for granted either, or if I could rephrase that, like what... Like, we can't take for granted that she would even get to Paris. Mm. Like, there's a qualification process there. There's an extremely talented fighter underneath her, Amy Broadhurst, who conceivably, if she was at this Olympics or these Olympics instead of Kelly for whatever reason, I would say would have made a semi-final and probably medaled, right? And Amy has been championing at the bit for a couple of years. She is very fond of Kelly now. It took them a while to actually kind of reconcile a few past differences, but she'll be looking to overthrow her. Like, Kelly's on the throne now, and there'll be people within Irish boxing, as in up-and-coming talents like Broadhurst, who want a piece of the action. So it's not a given that she would be going to Paris, even if she stays on. And, like, I'm not saying she will remotely shirk from that type of challenge, but she also could be the type of person who, at 31, looks at the bigger picture, looks at some of these talents coming up beneath her and says, you know, maybe it is time to move aside and let the green shoots flourish, you know. In regards to the professional thing, the more I think about it, the more I don't think that will happen. No. I think she will undoubtedly get offers. She's just too marketable and too good, as Andy says, to not attract the attention of even some of the biggest promoters in the game. But I just don't think it's the life that she would want for herself. You know, Andy mentions the accessibility, and I think it's a really interesting point about her parents. Sure, like, I suppose in fairness, if RTE Studios or Virgin Media or whoever were based in Bantry or Clonakilty or Skibb, it'd probably be the same for the lads down there. It is a little bit more secluded and a bit of a trek, like, so to speak. But with Kelly herself, as much as she is this amazing, front-facing, bubbly personality, she's borderline impossible to get an interview with. She has a sort of a suspicion of the media, generally speaking, and even though she might have a great relationship with individual journalists who cover boxing or cover sport, and that's where a lot of us will see her in her caring side. Like, she might message you out of the blue if you've had some good personal news and she catches wind of it. Like, she'll message you, congratulations. But when it comes to actually doing a formal interview, she'll keep you at arm's length for as long as humanly possible. And I would guarantee you that that will continue. Like, once the formalities of the usual homecoming interviews and the Late Late Show appearance and whatever are done with, Kelly Arrington will go back to living the life that she used to live.
Yeah,
she,
but Gavin, Katie doesn't, you know, Katie Taylor isn't exactly a great lover of talking about herself in interviews, but she's done it and it's been fine for her as a professional. I do remember, and I know very different personalities, but there were the same reservations about will professional boxing really suit Katie Taylor, and we all know what's happened there. So why can't Kelly adapt?
No, I think she could adapt on, but I'm not sure she'll be bothered to adapt. Like, she doesn't watch professional boxing.
Right.
She has no interest in it, you know? Now, you could look at it as, this is a brand new challenge for me. Can I conquer the world again in this new realm, the same way that Katie did? But Katie is a boxing fan. Kelly is a spectacular boxer, but I'm not sure she's actually a boxing fan who watches it on a day-to-day basis. Like, Andy was on CoComs there on DAZN over the weekend for the Matchroom show. Like, if Kelly was at home and not at the Olympics, she would not have watched it. So like, I think it would have appealed more so to Katie than it does to Kelly at the moment. I could be proven wrong. Listen, somebody puts a massive contract offer on the table and you realize I can move into a bigger house here with my partner and it's a new chapter in my life, new challenges, I say, maybe. But I'm actually not sure on an absolutely fundamental level would it interest her is the point.
By the way, her partner, Mandy, you've both mentioned her at different times. There's a brilliant clip that's going around at the moment from the Horizon Tokyo show, the documentary before the Olympics, and Mandy's helping out with the pad work that Kelly's doing during COVID. You know, this is the kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes for these sports people, and she's moving back as she's supposed to be standing there holding the pads, and Kelly's like, you're moving back, you can't move back, and she's like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm terrified. I didn't realize at the time that she actually boxed herself, but that's the kind of stuff. It was a lovely little shot, and it's the kind of thing that happens behind the scenes, so it's good to see her getting some shout outs over the last couple of days. Andy, would you like to see Kelly go professional?
I could see it, dude. I don't know. I could see it going that way, Gavin. But like, you said, when there's money involved, you know, like, I think I could see it. Like, obviously, she's commercially will be hugely commercially viable now in terms of sponsorships and endorsements. So maybe she would stay amateur and make plenty of money. Maybe more staying amateur than she will and go to Paris. But would I like to see her? Sure, why not? She's an excellent boxer. And I think she has the ability to emulate Katie Taylor, like. But it's up to herself, isn't it? You know, it's really at the end of the day, it all boils down to her and what she wants.
Yeah. Last quick one, Andy. Your boy Paddy Donovan had a great win at the weekend. You got to be giving this lad some rounds, though. He's knocked another opponent out. This one in the first round.
Well, the plan was like. To get a few rounds with this guy, maybe get four rounds and then see if he can turn it up a bit. But when we walked to the ring, I looked at the opponent and I knew he wasn't up to much. And I could see that he wasn't as spirited as I expected him to be. So I said to Paddy, I just whispered to him, go to the body. And you leave these guys hanging around too long and they seem to join out and you end up looking bad yourself, you know? So Paddy did exactly what he had to do, get him out of there. Looks really good. And, yeah, that's it. I just got a message from Top Rank this morning. They're all excited. Bob Arum watched the fight, and he's got big plans for Paddy fight on a Josh Taylor card in Scotland, and then twice in New York next year. So, yeah, great for him. He's a star of the future.
Brilliant, Andy. Lovely stuff. Thanks so much, Gavin. Thanks a million.
Thanks, guys.
National, and I just can't believe we won. It's unbelievable.
Behind Forsail is Charlotte Brew, just taking the water, getting a cheer from the crowd as going down out into the country. Boom Dockers, a long way.
I'm not in favour of these girls going around, to tell you the truth. They're not as strong as a man, they can't possibly be. It's not a girl's sport.
Lady Rider, Charlotte Brew and Barony Ford are way out of contention, but doggedly soldiering on.
Is this your first winner?
Yeah.
Talk us through that race here now.
We went really well and I couldn't believe it.
But over the last in the National, it is Manila Times who leads them towards the elbow. Three or four lengths clear from ridden in second place, Balco de Flo. Any second now, and Barrow Sate, Rachel Blackmore, heads towards the elbow with 200 yards between herself and an Aintree victory. Balco de Flo and any second now are about five lengths down, 150 yards to go. Manila Times, Rachel Blackmore still five lengths clear, and it is Manila Times who is keeping up the gallop towards the line. Manila Times, Rachel Blackmore raises the bar still higher.
Oh, it's been an emotional show so far, I gotta say. We've got one more tribute, if you can handle one more.
Please,
tribute.
I'm only warming up here.
Excellent, because an Olympic gold medal should be given the respect it deserves. And for me, the ultimate way to show respect is through the medium of poetry.
Owen's Poems
with Owen McDevitt,
featuring the poetry
of Owen McDevitt.
And what an absolute load of nonsense that is. Nerd nonsense.
Yes, it's a lyrical gangster. Owen McDevitt.
Honestly, this has been an amazing last 24 hours. It's been emotional. It's been beautiful. Why now? Why today of all days would you do this?
With a special edition of Owen's Poems. The key points to remember, always four stanzas in my poems with four lines per stanza. And I use the AAAA rhyming scheme. Whatever word I use at the end of the first line in the first verse, I have to keep rhyming with that from then on. to my mind, any other rhyming scheme is basically cheating. And I think there have been a few frauds getting away with it for a long time. Sorry, Karen.
Sorry, hold on a second. This is actually a poem written by you.
By me.
So
You've written this poem.
I mean, that's how Owen's Poems began. I didn't just become poet laureate of Second Captains by asking others to write poems. I once used to get my hands dirty, and now I'm going to do it again.
Okay. Writing this poem. All right. Okay. Well, you know, I respect that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you don't respect that. So here goes. This is called A Legend Called Kelly by Owen McDevitt. Just a few words on a legend called Kelly. Ice in her veins, fire in her belly. Her opponents all fear her. Their legs turn to jelly. Do they think they can beat her? Not on your Nelly. Doesn't matter the venue, Tokyo or New Delhi, jumpy internet stream or live on the telly. She'll win a gold medal by giving it welly, and you won't find one of those in the buy and selly.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm wondering when Martin Shkreli's going to have to be dragged into this.
Ken, this is where the Italian language comes in handy in stanza three here. Coached by Zor Antia, Irish boxing's Machiavelli, switching southpaw to orthodox, smooth as vermicelli. She took Ferreira to hell where it was hot and so smelly, and joined Irish sporting immortals like Malcolm O'Kelly. Thanks, Murph. I thought you'd like that one line. More than sport, this was
art. Hope Cafe Bardelli gets a mention here.
No!
Sorry.
Cafe Bardelli. Celebrations at Cafe Bardelli. Oh, I'll have to rewrite, scratch all this.
I want you to know that restaurant closed, I would say 15 years ago, but that's
still
fine.
Could have worked, but yeah, it's gone. Okay. More than sport, this was art. Don't worry, this is the last stanza. More than sport, this was art, like a song by Bocelli. As good as anything written by Yeats or by Shelley. On Portland Row, they were shouty and yelly. And all because of a legend called Kelly. Oh, a round of applause for me. Excellent stuff there.
Well, Owen, that was nice. That was nice.
I mean, if it was written by a 9-year-old, I would say that was nice.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be.
Really, that's a problem because it only works if it's really, really bad.
No, it was better than I expected.
Were you surprised that your good friend Malcolm O'Kelly got a mention?
I was a little bit surprised, although increasingly less surprised as it went on, and it became apparent that it was only going to be that. But you know, there was an extreme discipline to the structure that you go with. A lot of times, people will, you know, allow themselves to make a couple of different rhymes.
Yeah, cheats and frauds. That's what those people are.
No, fair enough. It's a purist approach.
I mean, I would like to invite more purists and maybe send in their own entries, but I feel like. One Owen's Poems this week is enough. So maybe the next time we have a gold medal, we'll throw it up into the floor.
Well, I mean, it's only 3 years. Maybe we should just take Paris 2024 off. But we'll be back with a bang for LA 2028.
Join us on the World Service if you're not already signed up. We're going to have All-Ireland Hurling semi-final chat. We're going to have Premier League chat and loads more besides. SecondCaptains.com is the place to do that.
Gaelic football semi-finals coming up next weekend as well.
Gaelic football
semi-finals. It's only bloody Dublin, Mayo, Kerry, Tyrone, you know.
I know. And that's about it for today's show. Thanks, Murph.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Kent.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Kieran. And thanks, Owen. And thanks for the
poetry. Thank you, poetry.
Oh, well, I was going to thank Kelly Harrington at the end there. Thank you, poetry. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll let you get on with your day there. Try to keep the emotions somewhat in check as you re-enter real life. I know I'm finding it hard to do so myself. Take care.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hmm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.